It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
I love this time of year. California is so interesting where, you know, it was just a short month ago and I was wearing shorts and a tank top on my walk with my puppy. And now this morning, oh my gosh, it was 46 degrees. So, of course, sweatpants, sweatshirt, and took a nice little stroll from the neighborhood or around the neighborhood. And we smelled everything. I mean, from the gopher holes to eucalyptus to the rosemary bushes. It's just a great time of year. I just love it. And it's something about fall, you know, just the change in the weather. So it was really cool to be out with my puppy, and I was thinking about the awareness and thinking about how much she has taught me about slowing down and patience and greeting everything, every person, every animal, every butterfly, every bush with just an awareness. So I love that I'm going into this interview today because the author that I'm going to speak with or the guest is Brett Johnson. Brett is the author of a novel called Heavenland. And I love books that make me think. And this one is a story involving a man and a dog, his best friend. It's got some fantasy. It has travel, philosophy, mindfulness, awareness, environment, a little bit of everything. So without further ado, I want to introduce my guest today. He is author of Heavenland, Brett Johnson. Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Jane. Really appreciate it.
Now, you've got to help me out here. This is, you know, you said that it's kind of like where your fantasy meets fact. Where on earth did this story come from? Because it is a doozy.
Okay. So rolling back about 12 years ago, my best friend's dog was on his last legs and was beside himself and didn't know what to do. I started writing a short story really based on Mitch Albom's books and the people that you see in heaven and who's the next person you might meet in heaven and who are the five people you meet in heaven. I felt, why not a dog? I mean, why not go talk to an animal in heaven? Why does it have to be a person? So I was inspired to write a short story, and I felt like, well, I can't finish it until the dog passes away. And I thought, well, that's a great way for me to be able to tell my story. I felt like we don't have to have a challenging or near-death experience or something so dramatic in our lives to be able to tell our own stories. And so even though it's very much a memoir or a collection of my thoughts and observations of traveling the world and doing so many things, I felt about merging the two. And that's really where the true fiction comes in.
I love it because it does involve your death and it involves this kind of like a travelogue. You know, you and Odie go on this journey and it involves rock and roll. And it's almost like all the things that you love and the places that you've traveled, you incorporated into this book.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, look, I always feel that in our society, death is usually not a topic we discuss. It's not like having dinner with your friends and your cheers and you raise your wine glass and you're just having a chit chat and it's a jovial conversation about death. We usually try to pack it away, hide it. And as I'm here in the East Coast during this call, I'm watching the leaves fall. And, you know, death is happening right now in this autumn. And it's beautiful. At the same time, it reminds us of the cycle of life and what it does and nourish the earth and what's so natural. And so I feel like this was just a natural way for me to help people just realize that death is going to happen. It's 100% going to happen. And what do you want to do when you die? Or what kind of regrets don't you want to have? Or what do you want to accomplish? What are your bucket list items? What are the things, whether it's making sure you live and your fullest, or you see your family the most, or you travel as far as you can go. At the same time, I'm really just, it's a provocation to try to get people to think about what would be their heaven land? What would be their, like, say, first 5 hours of heaven? So there was a lot there, but that's really what I wanted to do with the book.
So it's kind of like live every moment as if it could be your last.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's, it's very cliche, but at the end of the day, how do you go to bed with a smile on your face?
Right.
How do you have a happy life, and how do you be healthy and mind, body, and spirit? And how do you do those things with just all of the stuff that we have available today, whether it's media or people's opinions or whatever it is? We're just bombarded, right? It's just fetty of stuff. So I think it's great to just get back to the truth of who you are and who you want to be and what you want to represent and how you want to be thought of when you pass.
Now, where did this come from? Where did your, or how did your philosophy develop about living your life to the fullest?
Yeah, young age. I really was one of those. I mean, being from a broken family, you start realizing, and being the oldest, you have to take care of the younger ones, and you got to take care of the emotions of the parents, and you got to just stand between with one foot on the boat, one on the dock, and just, you know, make sure that you can close the gap and people aren't sailing away. And I think that's just part of, I chose Positive University, and it was just like, let's look at the silver lining. Let's not dwell on the things that are going to upset or not going to help the situation. And so I really just took the high road and try to lift everybody up with me. And I just carried that on to my daily life and my career. And so that's just kind of person that I am. And I felt like just putting it in words would be a great way to at least help leave my legend and my legacy. You know, it's kind of what I was saying to everybody else. I felt like, well, let me start this kind of movement or this voice or this platform so other people can talk about
it. It's interesting because as I'm reading through your book, there is so many layers. There are so many layers involved, and it's humorous too, because here you are. I mean, I'm not going to give too much away, but you find yourself in heaven land. You come to realize that, oh, I'm dead, right? And then you run into a best friend, which happens to be this dog. And in the story, you and the dog communicate. You go on kind of a walkabout. And as you do, it seems like all these philosophical things are coming up. And these conversations that you're having, it's pretty wild.
Yeah. And I try to set it to music. I mean, look, you've been in radio, right?
Oh yeah.
Music moves us, right?
Sure.
Emotion there. As soon as I get to Heavenland, I got Jimi Hendrix and Bob Marley playing acoustic on a small stage at a dive bar.
Right.
You know? And I have this dog going, yo, what's up? So it's just, to me, I wanted to try to make it as fun as possible to have a conversation about, like you said, all the philosophical kind of aspects that I really wanted to hit, which is anything from racism to religion, to regret, to love, relationships, family, you know, all those things that we deal with daily. I just felt like, let's just expose it all. I have no ego. I'm sitting in heaven. I'm in the clouds. I'm dead. So there's no ego here. So let's just throw it out on the table. Let's just, you know, see what happens. And that's really the voice that I was trying to lead with, and just making sure that there's a balance. You know, with a lot of things, you need some balance. And I was just trying to balance the comedy, the fun, entertainment, and painting a picture, and then still talk about things that are real.
Right. Don't you feel, or in my opinion, I feel like my dog is teaching me all the time. Like, I am learning lessons daily, just about patience. You know, not trying to rush through the day, but just kind of smell my way through the day, through what, how she's taught me. So Odie is sort of your messenger throughout this book and sort of taking you on this explore.
Yeah. And it actually probably started on Earth. I mean, I called it my green light theory. And so when we used to go on walks in near the city or coming in and out of a park, we would tend to not stop at the red light. We would cross wherever the green light was. And so in the book, even though I felt like there was maybe he was leaning towards one way and I was the other when we were, you know, still alive. And so being in heaven and approaching that with him, I said, well, remember the green light theory? You remember when we just crossed the street and we zigzag to get to where we were? We never really had a path and we never waited for a red light and just keep moving forward. And he's like, are you sure that was you or was it me? And that's where I was like, okay, well, yeah, you've been my guide for how long? You know, where's the rabbit hole in this? And so there's a lot of those kind of tidbits in the book for sure.
I love that. And it must have been incredibly hard when you actually lost Odie in real life.
I mean, bring me to tears right now, to be honest. I mean, my best friend lived next door to me at the time, and he didn't even know what to do with himself. He really was just so beside himself and so emotional that that dog taught him love.
Mm.
And so he didn't have a lot of that in his family.
Mm-hmm.
I would say he did. I mean, that's my second family, but it wasn't said as much as in my family. So there was, I just saw a difference is all.
Right.
But that dog was really there. And I think for anybody's pet, it is really just that much more meaningful to them. He just didn't know what to do. I mean, 16 years.
Wow.
It's a lot. And living in different places and really just having that best friend and me watching my best friend just be a puddle on the floor nightly. It was crushing. So I had to make the call and, you know, do everything. So this is basically a gift to him.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's interesting. Those of us that have had the beauty of having a relationship with a dog, just the lack of judgment and the unconditional love that we feel, that we experience with this four-legged wonder, you know, that does seem, in my estimation, almost godlike.
Yeah, and that's actually one of the chapters is dog equals God. It's just, you know, God is dog backwards.
Right.
So it just was, to me, I did make a comical reference of what is it like to have, like, maybe a possible deity through or some kind of presence or some kind of, yeah, faithful guide on earth that's in, you know, that four-legged fuzzy form.
Let's talk about God for a minute. Do you have a philosophy about the Almighty?
I think it's changed for me because of looking at religion and being a part of it when I was growing up, having friends that had other religions and respecting their traditions. I come now from more of a spiritual sense, knowing that there is a higher power up there that if we tap into, then we feel elevated and we have that consciousness that allows us to really feel much better, mostly about ourselves. And I think that's the halo effect that religion usually causes. If you really feel great, and if you really feel like a great person, and you want others around you to feel great, family, friends included, and that ripple effect happens amongst your tight group and your environment, your community, I think it helps spread no matter what the religion is, no matter what your background is and what the traditions are that are involved with your religion, that everybody's God has got to be personal to them.
Right. What about regrets? You mentioned regrets because it is a theme in Heavenland, the book.
Well, Jane, I mean, one of my biggest regrets, if I died and didn't write a book, that would be one big one. So I did. And that's really why I did this. The second one was, and it's in the book, you know, but I'll briefly go over, but not getting married and starting a family at the age of 46, at the time of death in this book. So that to me was, okay, here's another regret. There's a couple little good twists in the book about that. And that's where sometimes the nonfiction comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to try to paint a picture, but I also wanted to make sure that I created not really a roller coaster. I don't like creating drama, but at least creating some thought to what could be or what could have been in your life. And to be able to see, like, having the dog Odie be my kind of Christmas past, present, future in a way to kind of, you know, we unfold that. We kind of walk through a few of those things. So I really was just, I try to live a life of no regret. Again, going back into my teenage years, I was really, that was one of my biggest mantras. So I would push myself to try things and do things that felt uncomfortable because I didn't want to regret not trying it and not knowing if I liked it or disliked it. So that's kind of how that went for me. And I think that living a life with no regrets is something that everybody should wear.
Oh, I like that. Something we should all wear. My guest today is Brett Johnson. He's author of the novel Heavenland, and you can find it at heavenlandbook.com. Great. It's small, and it's an easy, quick read. Let's see, 189 pages, you know, easily fits in a purse or a backpack. But just a really fun book. I would encourage you. And by the way, congratulations. You know, there you go. You know, talk about when you have that something inside of you, whether it's a piece of art that you need to paint or a book you need to write or, you know, learning a new language or traveling the world, whatever it is, you know, gosh, none of us want to, like, you know, as my dad would say, kick it before it's time. Kick it before you get that thing done that's been like burning inside of you since childhood. So good for you. What other things do you need to accomplish before you leave to go to the next room?
I would like to use Heavenland and create the platform. And I say right now, kind of a movement, but more of just an opportunity and maybe a room before the next room to create a space for people to tell me what they want to do a few hours of death. Like, you know, really, I mean, I just want to kind of inspire people to not only just live their best life and to enjoy their lives before they die, not knowing when that's going to come. So it's got to be today, right? I mean, in some ways, today and tomorrow really have to be the best days, and you keep going and going and unravel whatever the, you know, crap is you deal with daily and you're not happy with. So to me, I just want to create a voice for those that can express how to accept death. And if they have it around them and it's happening to their elders or their friends, and definitely during this COVID time, during, you know, cancer having such a grip on, you know, our population and just all of what's happening these days, I feel like we're in constant chaos, and try to find the calmness in each of us that we can actually express what we want to see in that next room and kind of, you know, what artwork you're going to have on the wall, what furniture is there, and who's going to sit there and chat with you, and what do you want to do? What do you want to experience? I really feel like that's what I would really want to do. And so that people just are not afraid and run away from death, but embrace it and get engaged and be inspired to do the best they can for those that have passed before us.
I love it. You're the Heavenland life coach.
Maybe.
I like it. I could see that, like, when, as you were describing it, words really speak to me. And so my third eye vision for you was this Heavenland room where you are helping people to elevate, to make sure they are living their best life. That's a cool goal. Brett, I just want to touch base on how you and I got connected. Our mutual friend, Mark Avery, you know, you wrote this book, Heavenland. Mark tagged me on Facebook and said, Janie, you have to talk to Brett. You know, and on your website, if you go to heavenlandbook.com, you're going to see a video there. Click on that, and you're going to hear Mark Avery sort of read the little synopsis of what the book is all about. And it's going to make you want to go buy the book.
Yeah, I mean, he's got such a great voice. I couldn't think of a more perfect, you know, godlike voice for Heavenland, really, other than Mark. So, and he also, there's two clips. So if you buy the ebook, in chapters 8 and 16, there is a link, and it'll take you to the website, because those chapters are one based on Costa Rica, and the other one's Mount Kilimanjaro, and it will take you to a clip that I had actually produced and hosted around 2000, and Mark did the voiceover for that. So I had him do the intros for this, for Heavenland, so that there was actually something real, tangible, you could see and kind of experience something in the book. And if you have the paperback, then you'd just be going to the website. There's a link is printed in there. So you just go to heavenlandbook.com and / videos, and you'll see those clips, and Mark's on that too.
I love it. See, you know, I love how we're all connected. Like, that to me is one of the great themes that has been really coming up for me a lot as I gently age and as I make sure that I don't leave with any regrets. And I just see this little thread that kind of weaves through everyone. And I'm not amazed anymore when people are like, you know, they connect the dots and it ends up like, oh, that's so-and-so who connected that person, who connected that person. And then you see, we are all connected. It's sort of like taking that walk with Odie and smiling, you know, smiling at everybody and reaching out to your neighbor and getting to know your neighbor. How many of us really know our neighbor's names?
That's very true. I mean, I think it starts from there. And that's really that community and the people you surround yourself with and how you are, you know, in your space and time and how you relate to other people. I mean, the physical part of being alive is amazing. And I think that social media is making it unsocial and unphysical, and there's not as much hugs and touches. It's just thumbs ups and highs and videos. So I think that there's a lot to do. And actually, it's funny, in this book, I was just thinking how I took this long hike. I sat on this big boulder, and I had a chat with this boulder, like, you know, philosophical chat about traveling. And, you know, I thought it was quite comical. And I know you're laughing.
No, it seriously is one of my favorite parts of the book.
Yeah. So I look at that and I go, well, and actually here's a little segment of the book. It says the boulder could turn into the tombstone with my name on it.
Mm.
It becomes my dash between the two dates on that headstone.
Mm.
The dash wasn't enough for me. So to me, what is the dash between the date on your tombstone? How do you fill that up? And what would you want to do? What do you want to stand for? Like I said, this book is my dash. Like, I wanted to make sure that there was something left behind to read, or, you know, something that told a lot of my story in a really fun way.
Yeah, I love that. Well, you are a very young man and you're a very healthy person. So I'm thinking that you've got a lot of dash there. You've got more dashes to create. With that in mind, what do you think happens when we do ultimately take that last breath and we move on?
Gosh, that's a great question. I mean, I love what you created with the next room, because I think everybody's room's different. I think the book illustrates what I want my next room to look like.
Mm. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. It's you're creating your fun, this moment, I guess, or you're kind of projecting what those moments would be. So you have the most enjoyable experience while your spirit lifts. I don't think there's obviously too many people that have gone to the complete other side that could come back and tell us there's enough near-death experiences and there are enough documented experiences people have had. But I really do think that if you're going to make that next room yours, and it's going to be that beautiful, amazing place that you want it to be, that when you pass, your spirit, other people are going to feel your spirit, that it's there, that it's happy, that you're happy, and you've gone to a place. It's the same with people that see ghosts and apparitions. Like, if you are seeing like this ghost, but at some point that ghost leaves and you know it's in a happy place, then that's great. If it's not in a happy place, then you probably feel that ghost. It's probably tormenting whoever's in that location, in that space, right? So I think that it's really smart to think about what are the positive things you want to experience in the next room. And mine really is in this book.
I love it. Good answer. I feel as though we do have a little bit of a hand in creating. And who knows? I mean, we really don't know, right? Maybe we do. Maybe we've forgotten. But as long as we really don't know, why not create your own heaven land? And with yours, it's going to be rock and roll, dive bars, Odysseus, your guide, Odie the dog. You're going to be able to talk to rocks and just sort of float through this great travel log of an experience. You had told me something about your grandmother. Let's talk about the cover of the book, because it's beautiful. It's just gorgeous. I mean, it looks like heaven land. It's you walking toward the sun. Odie's there with a stick in his mouth, and it's just a gorgeous shot. So let's talk about that picture and how that came to be.
Wow. I mean, that's, your third eye is working because it's very insightful. The clouds on the cover, the clouds are from a place that when I asked my grandmother, when I started my heaven land kind of, you know, conversation with her before she passed a few years ago, I asked her, what's your favorite place on the planet that you've been that you would like to just sit at and be forever? And she said, the Bay of Islands in New Zealand.
Wow.
So a year and a half later, I went. And that's a compilation. The clouds on the cover are a compilation of the clouds from a few different photographs that I had taken while being in the Bay of Islands for a couple of days. So I was really trying to do what I could to see what her happy place was. And that's where I felt like this is just a perfect cover for what's, you know, the content of the book. And to really just give a nod to her for, you know, living her best life and going all the places that she did and giving me the inspiration to go take a picture of these clouds.
Yeah, beautiful. It sounds like your grandmother was a great influence on your life.
She'll probably be in the next book.
There you go. See? The next book. There's another one. I knew that. I just knew it. Heavenland is the book. The author is Brett Johnson. I just wish you such success. And I know that times have changed because if you were able, I'm sure you could go around to dive bars and do book signings. But because of what's gone on with COVID and all of that, it looks a lot different. So you're just going to have to do things virtually.
Yeah, I've been doing a little Q&A kind of on my own just to help at least engage some people to at least understand even the small things of why my name is spelled with one T, but in the book it's two T's. So just kind of helping paint the picture of, you know, what's going on and at least having some engagement with some of the, you know, the readers and people that would potentially, you know, buy the book.
That's good. Now, where can people, you know, that leads right into where can we get a hold of you and connect with you?
LinkedIn's pretty good for me. But Instagram, there's heavenland.book. And the website is another great source, because there's Medium posts. I'm also on medium.com. And so there's posts I have on the page there for Heavenland, but, heavenlandbook.com, the website will direct you pretty much everywhere you need to go.
I love it. So one other thing I wanted to ask you is there is something in the book that talked about living like your heroes would want you to live. Who are your heroes and why do you say that?
Oh, wow. I guess I've never really, other than in the book, I never really thought about it before. So I would say my grandmother, my mom's mom, for sure. She was, the things that she accomplished in her life were exceptional. And so I would say her for sure. My parents are both amazing people. So I appreciate them and I look up to them. And then there's like the iconic figures that I mentioned in the book, because I felt like, well, gosh, my heavenland, I would love to go meet like the Muhammad Ali, like in his heyday, right? Like mm-hmm. at the time when he was just on fire. I would love to go see Nelson Mandela while he was sitting in prison, you know, or Stephen Biko. I would love to go just even have a quick dinner with Genghis Khan. I would just like to try to figure out what these icons were doing in their prime or even, you know, post prime of their lives. And just, so a lot of times I'm just inspired. Now, one of the probably biggest heroes is my great grandmother, who a lot of this book was for. And I was 19 when she passed. So she was the one at that time that really got me to embrace what death was and be motivated to make her proud. So that's really one of my driving forces.
I love it. What is your great grandmother's name?
Margaret, but we called her Momo.
Momo. All right. Shout out to Momo, because in the next room, or my heaven land, as you like to call it, I believe that they're with us, that we just, you know, we're energy, right? So we just transfer change forms, and we're still very much around. So Momo, thank you for having a wonderful great-grandchild, Brett Johnson, author of Heavenland, heavenlandbook.com. This is fantasy, travel, philosophy, humor, mindfulness, environmental issues, awareness, sexism, racism. He's covering it all in Heavenland, and it's really a fun, make-you-think kind of read. So do yourself a favor. You know I'm such a supporter of authors, and, you know, spend the $12.99 and get a hard copy if you're into it like I am. I have to have books. They're all over my house. If not, you can always do, you know, the digital. You know, that's easy too. You can do a Kindle read. Brett Johnson, congratulations. I hope that we can have you back on. And anything in closing that you'd like to add?
I mean, Jane, thank you so much for creating your platform and having a voice to speak about The Next Room. So I really applaud you for that. And I just encourage anybody listening to really just take care of you, stay healthy, be as happy as you can. Try to make sure that you just align yourself with what works for you and fill your cup as often as you can and try to live that best life. And don't be afraid of what's to come. And help others that maybe are on their way out to be able to feel more comfortable and just be more comfortable with what death brings.
Beautiful. From your lips to God's ears. I'll speak with you again next week on The Next Room.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.